Welcome to Digest This, the show that helps you revolutionize your digestive health. Here are your hosts, Dr. Liz Cruz and Tina Nunziato.
Hello, and welcome to Digest This. I'm Dr. Liz Cruz, and I've got Tina Nunziato sitting right here by my side. We're so thrilled that you have joined us for another podcast. And if you're a first-time listener, we are excited and so happy that you have joined us, and we hope that you will stay with us on this journey. Please go back and listen to our over 170 other podcasts that we have out there. The information never expires, and a lot of great information out there. So thank you again for joining us. Today I wanted to talk about Tina. Our podcast for today is all about Tina Nunziato.
It's not all about me, but
well, no, I want to celebrate Tina. I want us all to celebrate Tina because Tina just received an award, a very special award this week. We went to her ceremony out at ASU, Arizona State University. We were out on campus, and it was a very exciting day. We pulled our kids out of school, mm-hmm. so they were very excited. They were happy and excited, to say the least. And the award was recognizing alumni for their achievements as entrepreneurs. And specifically, it's called the Sun Devil 100 Award. And so I was really impressed, and I thought the ceremony the afternoon was just, it was a beautiful ceremony. The president of the university, Dr. Michael Crow, did an address to the recipients. There were about 15 to 18 recipients.
So only three ladies.
Only three ladies. So this is a big deal. This is a very big deal. And I was very proud. I am very proud of Tina. And wanted to share a little bit of what President Crow talked about during the address, because I was very moved by what he said. And, you know, I think the audience overall was moved. I mean, there was everybody was listening intently. I think he's actually a really good speaker. He had some really great things to talk about. And so I thought we would talk about that on this podcast, because I think what he said is applicable in anything that we're doing in life.
That's right. Yeah, and it really stemmed from, so last year, U.S. News and World Report rated ASU as the number one school in innovation.
I think that is so wonderful.
Above Stanford and MIT, right? So this is a big deal for ASU, right?
And absolutely.
If you don't live here in Arizona, you don't know this, obviously, but it is plastered all over town. I mean, when you walk on campus, it's everywhere. They've got banners everywhere promoting that. But then also around town, they have billboards up promoting it. I mean, it's something to be very proud of, right?
Absolutely.
And most people would not think of ASU as a school for innovation, okay? Mm-hmm. But then most people aren't paying attention at ASU because they have done an amazing job these last however many years to really get the school in line with that mentality. And so he spoke a lot about that. And I think that does, like what you said, I think that mentality is something that we all need to adopt.
Exactly. Well, I have to say, first of all, Tina is an alumni of ASU. She graduated from ASU with a degree in marketing. Mm-hmm. And she graduated, when was that, Tina?
1996. This is my 20 year.
No way. Really?
Yes, this is my 20 year.
Well, if that's 20 years for you, we're not even going to go to how many years ago I graduated from college. We went to a homecoming, a couple years ago, and one of the exhibits that they had was a group of students that are being innovative, that are, you know, entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. And so, first of all, one of the things I asked you was if they had a degree in entrepreneurship or whatever you call it. You know, I just think it is wonderful what they're doing, because what President Crow said is that they are trying to they're trying to do this in all of the different schools that they have there, all of the different disciplines, you know, in teaching, in nursing, engineering. They're trying to promote this spirit of entrepreneurship, which anyone can do, right. Okay? Because it's basically being creative, innovative, okay? Trying to do something a different way. All right. And I think the biggest phrase or sentence that stuck with me was doing something different. Mm-hmm. Okay. If something's not working or something's being done the same way and nothing is moving, nothing is progressing, do something different.
And that hit home for you.
That hit home for me because that's basically what we did in our practice mm-hmm. several years ago when when our patients were coming back with the same symptoms, and we do a Rolls Royce workup on them, you know, procedures, radiology testing, blood work, prescribing medicine like candy, and patients still coming back with the same symptoms. And that's when I came to you and said, something's wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got to figure it out. And that's when we decided to do something different, mm-hmm. okay? Which is what we did with the practice.
And that's what led me to get this award.
That's right.
So there you go.
That's right.
It all comes full circle.
That's right. So, you know, what he said just really moved me. And he said a lot of different things. Let's share some of the stuff that he talked about.
Well, at the very beginning, he gave some statistics, mm-hmm. which were very interesting.
Yeah, those were astonishing.
Yeah, he talked about how today, if you were to only have a high school degree, okay, that there are 20% fewer jobs available to you. Okay, so that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a pretty big number to be talking about here, coming out and not moving on for that extra degree. Okay, that you're the amount of limitation that you have in your career. The other thing he said that kids growing up these days will have 12 different jobs and at least 4 careers. Okay.
Now, that's crazy.
Now, back in like my dad's day, okay, like they worked for the most part at one place.
Yeah.
They had one career
yeah.
their whole life. Maybe they worked at a couple places, but in the same career. Mm-hmm. Okay. And in my day, I've noticed I've had at least 6 or 7 different jobs, you know, and I know that my dad's generation looks at that and goes, oh my gosh, that's, you know, that's crazy, you mm-hmm. know, because that's not what they lived in, you
right.
know. But it's going to get even crazier, you know. It's the rate of change, I think, that's happening. You have to keep up mm-hmm. with that rate of change. And if you don't, you'll be archaic, right? And so I think that just bodes to that, right? The rate of change and people keeping up with that as they move through their life and through their careers.
You know, I thought one of the things that he said that I, you know, as I think about it, I think that I've heard this before, but he was saying, you know, because there were several of the recipients of the award were alumni from many, many years ago. Mm-hmm. Okay. And when before the ceremony, we went to this luncheon and all of the recipients had a chance to get up and introduce themselves and tell us about their business and what they've, you know, what they're doing. And several of them said that they were shocked when they, you know, when they were told that they were going to receive this award because their GPAs were so low.
Right.
You know, and again, that just goes to show that your GPA is not the all in all,
right.
Okay? I mean, I don't think ever in my career has anyone ever asked me, well, what was your GPA in med school or in college? And, you know, I mean, and this is not to say don't do your best and don't, you know, try to get, I mean, I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying that was a comment that was made by several of the recipients. And so President Crow, when he got up to do his talk, was saying that for those of the older recipients that were there, that were graduates from who yeah. knows when, that was
before,
a big deal.
Before 1970 before or something like that.
Yeah, that was a big deal that they had graduated.
Yeah,
To even have graduated because yeah. back then, the rate of those who actually graduated was like 40% of right. those that were in college.
So he's like, whenever he meets a graduate before 1980 or before 1970, he bows down to them.
He bows down to them, yeah, because it's a big deal. To have yeah. graduated
right.
back then was a huge deal.
Right.
So I found that very interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and you know, he also talked about just what ASU is trying to do. He mentioned that there's actually two different tracks at ASU these days that you can take. Like, if you just want to be a student and you want to come get a degree,
do the traditional.
You can do the traditional track, right, where you're taking classes every semester and you get done in 4 years. Mm-hmm. If you want to do the more entrepreneurial track, there's a whole separate track for you where you can actually go to school and start a business at the same time, which I thought was just phenomenal.
Well, and he was talking about all the people, all the kids, the students on campus right now,
right,
that have businesses going on.
Yeah. And
that while they're in school have started, you know, some sort of business.
And the amount of money they've raised,
yes,
from not only local investors, but also venture capital investors. Yeah. I think he mentioned the number was like last year, $500 million in investment. I mean, that's incredible.
It is.
Okay. And I think that it's just very exciting what they're doing for students. They're giving students the opportunity to do their dreams while they're in college.
Absolutely. You know? That's huge.
Yeah. So the three things that he mentioned, you know, that they're really focused on, that, you know, they have been focused on these three things for years, and that's why they changed the curriculum. That's why they're fostering innovation. That's why, right? It's the fact that they want to teach kids how to learn to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's the number one thing, especially when you're going to change careers your whole life, you know, and change jobs. You have to learn to learn, and you have to be creative, right? And do different things. You've got to learn, like, that whole thing about do different,
right?
And you have to adapt to change.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That was the biggest thing that he says. We have to teach people how to adapt to change. And I think this is very hard for some people, because the only thing that's constant is change.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't do well with change, you're not going to do well in society. I mean, I just don't mean in jobs. I mean in life.
Yeah.
Okay. And so you have to just learn how to let go and go with the flow and melt yourself into that. Because the reality is, if you don't, you're going to be left behind.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And you've got to find a way to melt into the change and be good with it, right? So, you know, we talked afterwards, you know, because both of us were very moved by the talk. And, you know, every time when he was talking, I was thinking about, you know, he mentioned how broken the world is, right?
Mm-hmm.
He mentioned how there are industries that are just collapsing, you know, and that you can't, again, you can't just sit back and go sit in the corner and cry about it. You know, you've got to figure out a way to move on, okay? And I like that, because it reminded me a lot of what we're doing with our business, with the broken food industry, the broken healthcare industry, you know, the broken pharmaceutical industry,
mm-hmm,
you know, and how we as two people can't fix those things. You know, we can't change what's happening there,
mm-hmm,
okay? But we can make change other places, and
right,
we can only do our best to change what we can change, right? And insert ourselves where we can make a difference. And don't worry about all the rest.
Right.
Let it take care of itself,
yep,
you know? But it just brought back, you know, how you can't fix certain things, but you have to learn. You have to learn, which is why we did the DNA for Digestive Health online home study program, because we have to teach people.
Right.
Right?
Right. And you know, sometimes it seems overwhelming. Sometimes you feel alone, you know, you're trying to do something to help and to make a difference, you know, where it's something we can change the world. And, you know, and sometimes we'll think, well, what am I going to do? Just me, just me alone. But you know what? If you don't try to make a change, if people don't try and make a change, nothing will ever change.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, if we all took that attitude of, well, it's just me, I'm not going to make a change, then nothing would happen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, everything that has happened, all the changes, all the wonderful discoveries and inventions and, you know, just things that change the world always start with a person,
mm-hmm,
with one person, and then it grows. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's up to us to make a change, and don't think that just you alone could, you know, doesn't have the ability. Don't think that just you being alone can't change the world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I know that came out not sounding maybe.
No, but I get what you're saying.
I mean, maybe the English is not right, but you can make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
You can make a difference, and you may not always realize the impact and the difference that you're making in people's lives, mm-hmm. okay? But you do make a difference with the things that you do, with the things that you say, with what you're doing mm-hmm. in your life. Mm-hmm. You can make a difference.
Yeah, I mean, just a perfect example. I spent some time on the phone last week with a woman talking about her acid reflux, okay? We had a really nice conversation, and she realized she needs to get on enzymes, okay? She went and told like 6 of her family members, and they're all calling me.
Yeah.
Okay, just right there. Like, she just affected 6 people's lives.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. And you know, we hear it a lot. I mean, I hear it a lot from our patients. Oh, you know, your enzymes, your core 4 are just, they've helped me so much. I feel like a new person. I told, you know, my family. I told my friends. So, you know what? You can make a difference.
Absolutely.
You can make a difference. And, you know, and why not? I mean, this is why we're put here on earth, okay, mm-hmm. is to help others and, you know, to love others and to make a difference. So.
And never stop learning.
Never stop
There's
learning.
There's always something to learn. There's
yes.
always something to do different to help you adapt to what's going on around you and make the best life you can make.
That's right. And you know what? I'm going to tell you, my grandmother started taking piano lessons in her 70s. And one of my friends, she's a colorectal surgeon, her mother went back to school and went to law school in her 70s.
Amen.
So when I hear people like, oh, I'm too old, or people are like, you know what? That is an excuse. Mm-hmm. That is a total excuse, because you are never too old to learn, mm-hmm. to learn new things, to go get a new career, to go get, to start a new charity, to mm-hmm. to start whatever. You can do anything. You can do anything you want to do in this world. And, you know, I tell my kids this every day. I think one of my favorite parts of taking my kids to school is, number one, listening to their conversation on the way to school. But then when we get there and, you know, they smother me with kisses and I smother them with kisses. Well, maybe not the 10-year-old anymore.
Yeah. He gets one kiss.
He doesn't want to be kissed. But the twins are still in that mode of wanting to be kissed. But I tell them, go and change the world. You're amazing. You're smart, you're beautiful, go change the world, be different, make a difference in the world. All right?
Amen.
All right, have a great one. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to catching you on our next podcast.
Thank you for joining Dr. Liz Cruz and Tina Nunziato. To learn more about their revolutionary products and services, go online to www.drlizcruz.com.